Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 328. I am Kevin. On the other line is Chris. How are you doing?
I am doing great, Kevin. And how are you, married fella?
Well, yeah, I'm glad as my now wife, but still probably will be referred to as the lady. She got asked, so how's married life? And it's like, it's been 36 hours.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, hasn't really changed much anything, except for the jewelry involved. And you know, I meant to do the math on this too, and I'll do it as we talk here. But I went down with to the venue with 291 beers, which is a little over 12 cases. And I came back with about half of it. So, you know, the demographic was a little bit older. I will say, you know, that kind of happens when you're a little bit older in the marrying department.
Right.
So, you know, not quite the shenanigans that would have happened at a younger age, but, I still have plenty of beer left. So now I get to drink away, from any of the sippy time beers that I have made. Over the course of these past 9 months. And yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. I am also going to have a, as my good friend and also homebrewer and helper in all things homebrewing, he calls it his beer inventory reduction parties.
That sounds like a good time.
So we're actually going to do that and brew a new beer. Is what our plan is. So yeah, we'll have that here in the near future, because Christmas beer next up on the docket. It will be ready for that time. I do need to start looking at recipes. So that should be fun.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So yes, good times had by all. Everyone, for the most part, did approve of the beer. So that was very nice to hear. Also, there did seem to be some favorites. The Irish Red Ale and the Pumpkin Porter seemed to top the list.
Nice.
So that was good news. Oh, and the everybody liked the Wright Imperial Red Ale too, and that was kind of funny because I felt like I needed to tweak that recipe a lot. So you know, you find these out when you when you test it on a larger number of people.
I would assume you do. That's very, very good as you continue on with this endeavor.
So, yeah, we're not just here to talk beer, though that will happen often. We are also here to talk about WWE. And where would you like to start? Do you want to start with contract talk, or do you want to start with Raw itself?
Well, let's just start with Raw itself. You pick the topic. You pick the subtopic.
Oh, well, you know, there were some good parts. There were some definitely not good parts. And you know what? The one that I can see swinging either way. So I will, although you have been hard on this gentleman in the past, Bray Wyatt, what do you make of this whole soul-eating thing?
So, yes, Bray Wyatt has ate the souls of the Undertaker and Kane and consumed their magical powers. What can you even say? I mean, they've gone down this route with the Undertaker storylines for around the last 20 years or so now. So maybe it doesn't fit this day and age at all, but just the stuff that they did with it just he created a fireworks display at the end. Wasn't even like a towering inferno of fire. It was really really lame. I mean, I know that this storyline's gonna go that route, and but yeah, nah, I really wasn't buying it.
Yeah, it was pretty hokey. Like, even Kane and The Undertaker at this point more treat it like it's part of the show rather than trying to pretend that they have otherworldly powers.
Right, yeah, we really haven't gone on that route with either of them in a very long time.
So yeah, even though it has been part of their story at some juncture, yeah, it just seems really out of place at this time. And again, like, I guess I really like his cadence and just the style of his speaking and things of that nature, that I still kind of like what's going on, but the storyline is so ridiculous that it's just hard to take serious at the same time.
I would agree with that. It's just Bray Wyatt's delivery has never been the issue. It has always been the content of his promos. People getting too cute with the otherworldly verbiage. That's really been the issue with Bray Wyatt. But you know what? He's always stayed in the top, for the most part, has stayed within the top echelon of the card throughout his run. So, I mean, they're doing something right with him. I mean, obviously, I mean, there's a reason he's in this spot.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, people do react to him quite a bit. The promos tend to get a little, well, really, his promos get the least of the praise. I do think that people like his in-ring work when he's in there.
Absolutely. He can go. There's something about him. I mean, they build him up for these things, for these big angles. He loses, but then he's always right back in the thick of things. So there's definitely something to him.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, they have some support of him, like, despite all the crazy booking that he's been through. You're right. He's always up there. Like, there's no mistaking. Like, he hasn't really gone after the world title, but he hasn't really made it a point to either.
Right, no. That's never been that has never been his focus, and maybe it shouldn't be his focus. It's just his focus is on eating souls.
Well, yeah, and I mean, even when he hasn't been eating souls, he has been out to kind of destroy people's lives in general. Yeah, I mean, he's just always kind of had some weirdness involved with him in any way. He's really, I guess I was thinking of it as more of a modern day. Like, I guess I understand the comparison he's going for, too, because I can see his gimmick is a more modern day version of The Undertaker. Like, you can't do things exactly the same as you did with Taker.
Right, no, you really can't, no.
But going the preacher angle for the most part and kind of the swamp rat thing, it does give it a certain vibe to it.
Right, yeah, it does. Where was I going with this thought?
When I can read minds, I will let you know last.
Bray has, as we were saying, you know, it's like he's always in the top. He's always in the top mix. There's something to the way he speaks, even if the content makes absolute. The words make absolute. It's almost like they jumbled words together.
Yeah, they just shook him up in a can and just rolled him out and go, here you go. That's your promo. Okay.
Right. Yeah. But no, I mean, he's got, you know, he's got his monsters with him. He's definitely better off than where he was 6 months ago or a year ago when they started on this journey of him going on his own. And that was the biggest mistake ever. He really lost something before they started bringing bringing the family back together.
It has been a good thing that they got the family back together, just for everyone in general.
It never should have happened in the first place. I mean, he did suffer. I mean, I'm just glad that they're kind of doing the storyline that it validates the WrestleMania match, which was really just looking like the biggest waste of both of them ever. Until they come back around to this feud. Now Bray has his family with him, and then he can take down the other.
Yeah. And really, is it going to be, because it's still going to be more of a Survivor Series style, or it is going to be a Survivor Series match.
Sure, they're gonna. I'm not sure where they're going with this, because it just doesn't seem like there's two characters that would fit with Undertaker and Kane. So I really don't know what this is going to be, actually.
Gotcha. I guess I felt like most of the speculation had been on a traditional style match, but it would be kind of odd to go five persons. If they went 4-4, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. 4-4 would make a lot of sense. There really wasn't any sense in doing 5-on-5. Although they've established that a Survivor Series elimination match is supposed to be 5-on-5, so that's a weird one. And I don't see them going 4. I don't see them going 4-on-2.
Yeah, that would be kind of silly.
And I mean that, because Undertaker has to win this match. There's no ands or buts about it. And if you go 4-on-2, that just kills the Wyatts. Period.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, because there isn't a whole lot of anyone except for Bray that's going to make a pinfall on the Wyatt family.
Right.
So, Yeah, I guess you are right, though. Like, it would be weird to fit somebody with Taker and Kane. But they still might do it, just because so many people have had issues with the Wyatt family that in some ways there is at least some logic to it. Because I'm trying to think of if Dean Ambrose has anything really going on.
They did have him pin Kevin Owens in the 5-on-5 match.
So
I can see that being the direction next for Dean Ambrose, going for the Intercontinental title.
That would be a lot of fun. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, I would enjoy that. I would enjoy that a lot. They could have a really, really good feud. against each other. So yeah, I wholeheartedly enjoy your style.
So yeah, and you're right. That would make some sense. Roman Reigns is clearly on the title hunt, so he's not going to be in there. What, Ryback and, who was the other guy that, who else joined,
On SmackDown, it was Cesaro.
Oh, but Cesaro.
I don't see The Undertaker, Kane, Cesaro, and Ryback being a team. It just doesn't jive with me. The only other dark and mysterious character on the babyface side would be Sting, which would make some sense, but I don't know what his health is. And they did in the video package covering Survivor Series 2014, they made a point of not including him in it, so I don't know what that says anything about Sting's relationship with WWE right now. So, but other than Sting, I really don't feel like there's babyface. Any babyface characters really fit the storyline at all. It's like it's happening in its own. In its own mystical universe, essentially.
You don't think Stardust and the Ascension are going to help out Taker?
I don't believe so. No, I don't.
they were the only ones that exist in another dimension. That's all. That's the only reason, yes. I brought it up.
Oh, they're too busy following around Cesaro everywhere he goes. So you know that's setting up a big feud for Cesaro.
I guess it's a start for Cesaro.
I hope it's a feud he can win.
But I
put nothing past these people.
No, I don't. Like, if you want to have him build his way up, this would be a way to do it. But I just really think that, for the most part, all of the fans already think that he's far above having to deal with Stardust. Despite all of his losses, I think everyone's just like,
oh my god, popular. It's maddening to see what they do with this guy, how they just reject his popularity. I don't know if I want to say it's Daniel Bryan all over again, because that had a happy ending. Well, kind of. I don't think it's ever going to be overwhelming support that you, in the end, you can't deny. But there's enough there to go with. And they don't appear to want to go with it.
Yeah. It's really been made pretty clear. Because I was still even sitting there, like, I couldn't believe it was a question of, oh, is he going to beat The Miz? I mean, but it is a question. It's just like, I have not and will not ever get the booking of Cesaro in the WWE.
I don't understand what it is. There's just something about him that, at the very least, Vince McMahon does not get. I mean, actually, he pretty much came right out and said that on the Steve Austin podcast last year, so he doesn't get Cesaro. And if he doesn't get somebody, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of crazy to think that he did get Daniel Bryan at some point. But I feel like with Cesaro, like, and I do agree with you that they're different situations. Like, I think Cesaro at this point, when was it 2 years ago that he won the, yeah, because it was New Orleans that he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Right, yeah, they had him primed for a face turn, and then put him with Paul Heyman as a heel, and that tandem just didn't take off.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like he's kind of had a longer stint in that weird spot of he's really popular. Because Daniel Bryan's was fairly, I don't want to say gradual, but it happened and it came to the happy ending and then that was it. You know, he's just had the injuries pretty much since then.
Right.
So Cesaro's, and I feel like that kind of happened in like a 6 to 8 month timeline. And this is going on, you know, 24 or like 30 months. You know what I mean? Like, it's been over 2 years now that he's kind of been in this, like, really popular, but Vince McMahon still hasn't figured it out kind of mode. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is, especially after he had the match with Cena over the summer. I mean, there should have been no doubt at that point, you know, what he could be. But, you know, he entered the feud with Kevin Owens. In the end, he lost that. I mean, he's still losing to Kevin Owens whenever they face each other. but they have great matches. I mean, they recognize that he can have great matches. That's not the problem. It's they don't recognize that he has star potential.
Right. And, I don't get that they don't get that he already has it.
Right.
You know, it'll be a head scratcher until until a push actually happens. But yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see where this one goes. Mm-hmm. Well, I am glad for one team that was returning this week. The Usos made a reappearance on Raw.
Yes, they did.
And should it be also noteworthy that the Dudley boys were not on Raw?
That's very noteworthy. It is very, very noteworthy that they have been seemingly just their chess pieces have been pushed off the board completely. That they're not in the game anymore.
Yeah, because that's kind of interesting. Because aren't they? They are around for a while, aren't they?
Oh yeah. I think they're on a new long-term deal. I mean.
Yeah, I thought it was at least a couple of years or something like that. So, that's kind of interesting. Like, I'm not surprised if they had something of a reduced schedule, but I was surprised that they took a break already so shortly upon their return.
Yeah, it doesn't. It seems. Very strange they're not in the mix at all. But then again, I don't know if they're not challenging for the tag titles. I don't know what they can do either. I mean, I guess they could be feuded with Sheamus and Wade Barrett. Although Sheamus and Wade Barrett losing to the Lucha Dragons, oh my god! They gotta get that briefcase off the scene. So I don't care how they figured out. Who they have beat him for it or whatever. Something.
Yeah, he has had the stench of failure all over him.
I know he's got until June, but there's no drama about him cashing in that briefcase.
Yeah,
no one believes he's going to win that championship.
The announcers bring it up all the time, but Yeah, like every time I'm like I'm not worried that he's gonna do that. Like I'm just not. So yeah, that'll be kind of interesting to monitor, I guess.
Right.
Because yeah, I mean the Dudleys could just be taking the week off and jump back into something. I don't know. How long do they have until Survivor?
Just 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Oh. Yeah, I mean the Dudleys could get something, but who knows? Maybe they're off until the end of the year. Royal Rumble, they pop back in.
I'm not sure the specifics of their deal. You know, there was definitely going to be a point with them where, you know, the nostalgia act was going to wear thin. Yeah, and maybe we're there already. I mean, we know that Bubba has, you know, singles potential in him. That's been proven. Devon, not so much. So it'd be interesting to see where things go.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think D-Von has more potential as a singles wrestler. He's just not gonna be a high card guy.
He could just be a just be a body on the show.
Yeah, I
But
mean he could just because of his the length of time he's been around, he could be some type of a, you know, mid-level guardian for, you know, like the IC title or some shenanigans like
right.
that. So I mean if he could be utilized correctly as a singles wrestler if they want to use both of them as singles.
You could, yeah.
So yeah, but I don't know. I think that's about it with the Dudleys. Can we
I think it is too.
I would have to say that the Usos to get back to that point of my tag team talk. I liked these guys in the first place. I'm glad they're back. they are a lot of fun and I think New Day should play very well off of them.
I do too. I very much look forward to this. I think this is gonna be a very, very good feud for the tag team championships. I think these two teams are gonna play very, very well off of each other.
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. All of them are good wrestlers. because yeah, I mean the Usos are pretty good at their jobs. So they kind of add a little bit of depth to the tag team division too.
Right.
which could use a little bit of help as usual. Because again, more existent than it has been recently, but still not exactly a well thought out division.
Only one team, you know, can be focused on during, you know, a cycle as the top contenders of the tag team championships. They really don't do, you know, tag team feuds without the titles at stake to, you know, for the most part.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
You know, although that's another part about this. I mean, they've got the Lucha Dragons on something of a win streak now. I assume they gotta get their chance, but I got where does that where would that leave the returning Usos if it is something that's gonna be blown off quickly?
Yeah, well, I would say that I mean, anyone can fight the Dudleys and it's gonna be fun. So I mean, the Usos could get the Dudleys. Because I agree with you. The Lucha Dragons have been featured here a little bit. It's weird and random, but again, I enjoy their work.
Yeah. They're very good. They can have good matches with the New Day, and pretty much almost anyone. Well, maybe not every, not anyone, but I think most teams can play off of the New Day very well and have a mess.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. There's a couple of things that could happen there in the tag team division. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on. And yeah, poor primetime players just definitely nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they're. It's time for Titus O'Neil to ditch the dead weight once and for all and have a serious and make a serious attempt at a singles run with him while he's while he's still young, but he really isn't. He's got a late start in the business. He's about 38, so it's like,
yeah,
if he's ever going to be something, if they really believe that he is, you know, he's Mr. You know, he's Mr. PR for them, and should be featured in a stronger role. I think this is the time.
Yeah, I would think so. Again, with the Usos coming back, they have more depth in the tag team division. And Darren Young can always team with somebody else. Because I don't see a whole lot of Darren Young in the singles ranks. And they have any number of at least somewhat suitable replacements in the back, or choices in the back. Maybe not right. Replacements.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see that happening, but I don't know. The WWE just still doesn't seem willing to pull the trigger on him for whatever reason either.
Yeah, I mean, he's still not the smoothest wrestler in the ring, but I also think that's part of his charm. His offense is not, you know, your stereotypical wrestling offense. I like how he you know, runs into people. I like how he, you know, picks people up and just throws them. I think maybe his opponents don't particularly enjoy it, but I enjoy his style.
Yeah, that is probably a good way to put it. Because yeah, it's just kind of some power offense that you don't normally see. Like, he kind of has some unique offense. So yeah. I guess, you know, there's really only so much you can say about him, though.
Right.
So let's move on to the ladies, because they do deserve their time.
Well, they do. They really do. They had a good match, and the right lady won, and they've got their storyline in place for the Divas Championship for Survivor Series. Charlotte against Paige, a match that has not happened before, not even on NXT. So yeah, that part should be good.
Yeah, I mean. It's driven me bananas how they've gotten to this point. But they are at this point. Paige is the heel. Charlotte's the baby face. We at least have a traditional setup.
Yeah, we do, although... No, at least half that crowd didn't realize that Paige was the heel.
Well, yeah, and how dare I forget my own writing in the Almost Live and definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw. yeah, Paige is really getting cheered a lot, and it's really taking a little bit off of her bad girl persona.
But why wouldn't people cheer her? She's outsmarted everyone and kicked everyone's ass.
yeah. And she's still... yeah, she's just more entertaining than Charlotte is. And, and that just is going to continue to be a problem for her. Because I really loved Becky Lynch's promo with her backstage interview with Renee Young. She straddles the line between goofy and serious about as well as you can, in my opinion.
Yeah. She's very good, and I know that you really, really loved her outfit.
Yes.
I did enjoy it, too. I thought, man, she has the... She has... Her style is all her own, and it always looks great on her. She knows how to dress.
Yeah. She really does. She's really turned that up a notch ever since she got out of NXT. Because I'm just gonna say the wing look, not my favorite. Right. You know how, yeah, she kind of had like the wings on the back of her ring gear. Not really a fan of that, but everything she's kind of come up with, mostly while she's been in the WWE, has really been spot on.
Yeah, it absolutely has.
So, what the? Who else is there? Paige. And I don't know. I mean, Charlotte did not play much of a role in this show, honestly.
No, she got one promo. I thought the promo was okay, but once again, all of her promos. And this even dates back to NXT, so this is, it's not even, you know, an issue of, you know, the writing on the main shows. She's not good on promos. She really isn't, and I don't. She's not being. She's never been given good material, but I don't. She also doesn't seem like the type of person who can really. She's a great athlete, but I don't see her as the type of person who thinks you know, thinks very well on her feet, or is that you know. She's really not that charismatic, to be honest.
No, I don't think that she is. I don't think, and again, like, I don't think she's terrible, but I just don't, you know, I don't think she's anything beyond good. Passable, maybe, is a more denigrating way to put it.
Right.
But I would give it more than passable. But you know, she doesn't really light it up in the personality department.
Right. No, she doesn't.
And just about everyone that is either still there or also came up with her have more charisma. Like, as much as I can dislike the Bellas, they do have their characters down, and they have a certain panache to them.
Yes, they indeed have panache. they have panache up the wazoo.
It might be the only thing that they have, but, you know, Yeah, and I don't think Charlotte has anything even equaling what the Bellas have. Like I think that what Becky has and what Sasha, who's also getting something of a push now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Sasha looked really, really great in that match. She's maybe the, she might have the best overall, the best overall package, of anyone in the Divas division. I mean, they're biding their time with her. I mean, they know what Charlotte, putting the personality stuff apart aside with Charlotte. They know what Charlotte and Sasha can do one-on-one against each other, and they are holding that off. At least, maybe till Mania season, but they know what they have there. So
Right.
I could sit, but you know what? And I do see that it's not Charlotte. It is Sasha who is going to eventually be the centerpiece of this division, in my opinion. And if they can, bring Bailey up and not screw her up and not have, look at her. She doesn't look like she'd be on the cover of Maxim. I don't get it. Attitude. They could absolutely recreate what Bailey and Sasha had in NXT on the main roster.
Right, I agree, and it'd be interesting to see that. I'm not sure if we, well, it won't be anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, they've got a lot for Bailey to do in NXT over the next few months. Actually, I don't see any, well, I was gonna say I don't see any major call-ups for WrestleMania season, but no, there usually are a few. Maybe one or two. I can see Sami Zayn coming up. She was Kevin Owens. Actually, I don't see Finn Balor coming up anytime too soon either. So, I mean, that's that. So, I mean, yeah. So I don't think we have to, worry about, how Bailey's gonna do on the main roster for a while. But, they've got a lot. They got enough in this women's division, or excuse me, the Divas division to keep busy with for the for quite a while.
Yeah, they do. And I'm trying to think if there's anyone else in the division that needs to be addressed. Because I and I mean, as much as I've hated on what the WWE has done, I did think that this week was the first week that they decided to emphasize the singles. Like Becky wasn't in the promo, or Charlotte wasn't in the promo with Becky. Charlotte's was just to sit down. Even Brie Bella came interrupted Becky's promo by herself instead of with her sister. I just thought that as much as I've criticized it, I always feel like you need to mention when you think they're at least maybe figuring out what they should be doing.
Right, yeah.
And they still have a long way to go to prove that, but it has to start somewhere. And I just felt like this week, oh, and Sasha, when she had her interview backstage, she was by herself. Team Bad wasn't around, so it's one show, but they actually emphasized the singles out of the groups. So that's at least a move in the right direction. And I think that's about all I had on the ladies. Is there any other finer points to bring up?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I guess we can't get through a Raw talk without at least talking a little bit about, and I know that we've kind of mentioned him in passing, but Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins was the usual Seth Rollins. Nothing Nothing too much new to report there. I mean, they're doing a very, very, very good job, you know, building up the
Well, that sounds like plenty to bring up. You know, again, if they're doing a good job, they're doing a good job. I mean, I do think that there are some places that are a dumpster fire. but this one is not one of them.
Yeah, no, not at all, no. I mean, it rolls very well. I mean, crowds are definitely, it seems like we've got a trend of these crowds responding well to Roman Reigns, so, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, the story that they're telling of Rollins, you know, being afraid of Roman Reigns is very good. You know, they're both playing their roles very well. This is, you know, they got a good thing going.
Yes, they do, and I hope it. I hope it keeps on. Well, I don't hope. I don't have to hope. It. They have enough story behind them to keep this going until Survivor Series.
Oh yeah.
Now, okay. If you don't think there's much to be said about that, then we can talk. I'll tie two subjects together here. Last week, when the reports came out of what Alberto Del Rio's salary was, I said I would tolerate the nonsense being written for him for that sum of money.
Yes.
Well, the same places that reported that sum of money have now claimed that it is in fact one third of that number.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer getting who swears that, you know, he triple checked his sources on this, but it appears that all of his sources on this were Mexican based sources, and who knows what was said, who talked to who, but yeah, it doesn't appear that Alberto Del Rio is in fact making $1.45 million per year guaranteed. and if you really weren't sure about that, you can go back to Monday night, because they're not paying anyone $1.45 million a year to feed Jack Swagger. Superstars.
I just I just shook my head. Like, I'm like, really? Like, we're bringing Jack Swagger back for this?
And it wasn't just to bring him back just to have him lose one quick match on Raw. It actually looks like they might be building up for this to be the pay-per-view match. I'm like, he's been losing on Superstars almost every week for the last 6 months.
Oh, he's been on Superstars?
Yeah, yes.
Since I don't read the spoilers, I don't usually know these things.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I guess it's nice that they're remembering continuity, but that's just a one segment, 3 minute Raw match just to get it out of the way. It's not your pay-per-view match. Even if you're paying Del Rio $500,000 a year downside guarantee, it's still you're still wasting that on matches with R-Truth and Jack Swagger.
Yeah, I mean, it still does seem a bit much to be just doing an absolutely awful job of booking him.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. They really can't explain it well. That's the thing. It's not that it's... That's not just that it's nonsensical. It's that they can't come up with a good reason for Zeb Poulter and Alberto Del Rio to be together. So they have to talk. So they have to talk in circles, about the reasons why they're together.
Yeah, they're thinking about having Canada join now, which is just makes even less sense. Like, I guess I understand the logic that they're trying to go with, but I also don't understand it at all.
Yeah, no, I don't understand. It's just, I don't understand what they're doing with them. They just should have. I know he said some horrible things about WWE after he was released. And he's a nobody, so, you know, their minds are not going to tolerate it. But they really should have brought back Ricardo Rodriguez and just put the old act back together. There was nothing wrong with that act.
No, not even a little bit.
It's when they changed it. It's when things got bad.
Yeah.
With the worst babyface turn in the history of the... possibly ever.
Yeah, and I mean, this is just bad itself too. This angle, man, he's been in some bad angles. Just I guess I haven't liked his characters pretty much since the jump with this guy. I have gone from not liking him in the ring to liking him in the ring.
Right. Yeah, he's very good in the ring. It's just, you know, it's been about, well, it's been over 2 years of just well, not that has also including, you know, the year he was gone, but, you know, I've just some really bad, well, it's about 3 years actually, of just some really bad character work with him. It just, I don't think they understand what to do with him. And the answer is right there, is that you want your Latino, your top Latino babyface? Let him be the top Latino babyface. By all indications, that's what they want him to be, but if for some reason they feel like he should have this weird heel run first. And it's just, they really didn't need to do that, especially since, you know, the way he did, you know, coming back against John Cena, beating John Cena, you know, People wanted to cheer this guy, and they just been given permission to, and they haven't been, and, you know, he's suffering for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's just too bad. Like, I don't even get, even with the new downside, and that is the other thing for him, is this is a downside. The numbers that they're citing, I still don't get, again, to, well, I guess we covered it to start. I don't know why you waste that much talent or that much money on what you're doing.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, it was kind of funny because, and I always use him as an example, but Dave Bautista is in the new movie Spectre, new James Bond movie, and he was mentioning how he bumped heads with creative, and I always like to use him as one of those explainers. Hey, if Bautista can't get his say, you know, who really can?
Right, yeah, I mean, it's... In 5 years, we're all going to be going, Bautista came back in 2014? What? Really? If there are people who already do that already, you know.
Yeah, it... And it was kind of funny that he said that he should have just come back as a heel. That was one of his other mentions that did get a chuckle out of me.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's just like, you know what, people, that so yeah, that's why I put no faith in those guys. And yeah, they're just kind of wasting money with Del Rio. Yeah. Whatever. It's their money if they feel like wasting it, I suppose.
Right.
It'll just keep on dropping the ratings. Well, and I'm trying to think of what the other short topic was that you had mentioned earlier today.
That would be the Young Bucks signing an exclusive deal with exclusive North American deal with ROH. They've been got recently been get you know offered a WWE developmental deal, and ROH felt like that they were valuable enough to make them a big offer to stay, not only stay, but to give up all of, the exception of PWG, all of their other any other bookings in North America. So that means, with what the following that the Young Bucks have built for themselves on the independent scene now, unless you're in, Reseda, California, at the Legion Hall for a PWG show, the only place now that you can see the Young Bucks wrestle live is when ROH comes to your town.
Yeah, that does help bring some incentive to go to their shows. At least for a certain set of fans. I do feel like much like AJ Styles, they have at least learned a little bit of something in Japan.
I tolerate them much more as of late. But yeah, I mean, a good deal for them. It also a lot the deal also allows them to go to Japan when for however many weeks a year that they're offered to go there. They can take international bookings in the UK or in various other places as well. Just ROH has just has the North American rights to them. They retain all of their merchandising rights, so
Yeah, and I
they're.
had no idea that they were the owners of Pro Wrestling Tees.
I don't think that they're the owner. I think they may have some kind of a.
But they were
Everything was.
whatever their investment in that company, they were allowed to keep it.
Yeah, they've got well, I don't know if it was Cross Like Tees. I think it's been rumored for a while that they had ownership in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in PWG. So, and who knows? They might be. They actually seem like they're actually fairly smart guys. So, I mean, all indications are they're going to be making more than maybe a quarter of the WWE, almost anyone in NXT and. A good chunk of the lower part of the main roster in WWE. So good for them.
Yeah, definitely. That's a win-win for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is the. I guess the big question is this the beginning of ROH anteing up and actually, competing to keep. Now, granted that, to keep certain people and to be able to bring people in now that the hammer has been brought down from WWE that if you're on that ROH team in contract negotiations and then re-signed, they don't make what the Young Bucks are making. So it'll be interesting to see if this as this gets around the ROH locker room if this you always talked about one of the reasons why, and this is going back to the WWE, after WWE went out of business and the invasion angle, why they didn't bring the top guys in because from WWN when they to do part of the invasion, it was because you didn't they, it was decided that they did not want to upset the pay scale and lead to unrest in the locker room. So that part might be interesting to follow for ROH. There's going to be any, you know, professional jealousy for this deal that the Young Bucks cut for themselves and the company offered.
Yeah, I think about all those topics are valid. ROH, I do feel like, has done a good job. Like, where TNA dropped the ball and let some of these guys go, ROH has really been a beneficiary. And they've actually done a pretty good job of discovering people off of, you know, other indies. Because, I don't think this is Dalton Castle's first promotion. And, you know, their top prospect tournament always comes out well, I think. Even if the words top prospect can be a little sketchy, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, they're a fairly fun company to watch. I mean, it's an hour. It doesn't burn that much time.
No.
And it's really pretty simple to follow. Like, they just don't have always the most charismatic guys.
No. But once again, they do well with what they have. I'm not sure how I feel about the, you know, the recent shows experimenting with, you know, in the middle of the show, a long talking segment. I'm not sure if that's the direction ROH needs to go in, and if they, you know, they have the promo talent, you know, that kind of stuff off on a weekly basis. But, you know, the show has been very good. The wrestling is usually top notch. The stories are pretty simple. It's been a good show, and once again, you know, they appear to be making some moves to maybe actually make some growth in the coming year or so.
Yeah. So it again, it's an early thing, so it will bear watching. But it's a time will tell thing also. So
exactly.
Okie dokie. Well, our time is up, my good sir. So, for Chris Calamita at DeFrango11 and for the brand at Stunt Granny, have a good night.